Hey, welcome back to Melachim Aleph. We are up to Perek Chof Aleph. And Mirza Hashem, tonight we're going to do the whole Perek. Not so long. It's only like 20, I think it's 29 psukim, but it moves pretty quick. It's an interesting story, but there's not so much depth, a little bit of depth here and there. But so hopefully we'll move through it and try to finish the entire story tonight. Okay. This Perek talks about the story of the Harem of Navos. Maybe you heard of him. Navos was a fellow, and his vineyard causes all sorts of problems for Achav, and is kind of almost the beginning of the end, so to speak, of Achav. We know we've seen already that things have begun to unravel for Achav, and this is another step in that direction. And we'll see perhaps even the Makom HaPatish, maybe even the final blow in this downfall of King Achav. So the story begins, Pasuk Aleph, Vayihi achar hadvarim ha'eleh, and it was after these matters. And Rashi points out, achar hadvarim ha'eleh, why are we saying that? Why are we're connecting this to what happened before? So Rashi says, yeah, because this is another step in that direction of Achav's downfall. Achav already has begun his downfall with some of the previous incidents that we learned about in the last couple of prakim. And now, after all of that, here's another one. Here's another one that contributed to Achav's downfall. And what is that? Kerem Hayol Hayizraeli. There was a vineyard that was owned by this fellow Navos. He was from Yisrael, not to be confused with Yisrael, right? This is not this Yisrael is actually a city or a town in Israel. I looked on the map today. On the, you know, they have on HaTanach, spelled with a KH at the end, HaTanach.org, they have maps corresponding to the different prakim in Tanakh. Somebody showed me this website once. It's very interesting. So I looked on the map, and Perek Chof Aleph, it has Yisrael, right? And we'll see in a second, it has Shomron, because that's where Achav, you know, that was the seat of his Malucha. And then it has Yisrael. So I looked, and then you can actually, there's a little place to click. And you can see a map of modern day Israel and where these places are relative to modern day Israel. Very interesting. So Shomron is obviously in the Shomron. You probably figured as much. Right near Shechem, right near Nablus, what's, you know, modern day Nablus, which is Shechem. And Yisrael is a little bit north. A little bit north. It's actually not far from what we now call Jenin, right? Which is, you know, unfortunately in the news a lot. A lot of terrorists in Jenin. So not far from there. That's where Yisrael is. It's a little bit north of Shomron, and that's where. Sorry, no. Shomron was the capital of Achav's Melucha. Yisrael was a town. It was a town. Okay, so Navos lives in this place, Yisrael, HaYisraeli Asher b'Yisrael. Obviously, the Kerem is in Yisrael. Eitzel Heichal Achav Melech Shomron, and this was close to the Heichal of Achav Melech Shomron. Now, Achav, they call him Melech Shomron because even though he's Melech Yisrael, but Shomron was the capital city of Achav, and it was near his Heichal. Now, what's the Heichal? So it says here in the art school, the palace of Achav, but the Mefarshim say here that the Malbim says this specifically, that this wasn't really his palace. You know, his real palace was in Shomron. Maybe this was like a summer home or a vacation home or something like that. You know, this was some like kind of area that he went to in Israel. This wasn't the seat of his Melucha. This wasn't really his main residence. But this Kerem was right next to his Heichal. Whatever this Heichal was, it was right next to his summer home, let's call it. His vacation home, his vacation palace. Okay. Now the Malbim points out he really had no Mach Achav. We'll see in a minute. Achav wants this Kerem. Now Achav really had no reason, real reason, to take the Kerem or to want the Kerem, besides the fact that it was close to his Heichal. Now the Malbim points out sometimes a king, you know, needs to take someone else's property for, you know, reasons relating to the Melucha, for reasons relating to citizens of the Melucha. This was none of that. But he had no need for this in terms of his Melucha. He had no need for this in terms of the citizens of his Melucha. This was just a selfish, you know, property grab because it was right near his property. And he felt that, you know, I can expand my property listen, he has a vineyard right here. I can take it. We'll see what he wants to do with it in a minute. And I can expand my property. That was really all this was. Pasuk base. So Achav knocks on Navos' door one day, and he says to him, "You listen, do me a favor. Tnoli is karmacha. Give me your kerem. I want your kerem. V'hili legan yarok. And I wanna plant a pashut pshat. It sounds like a vegetable garden, right?" So the Radak says that maybe he wanted to actually plant a vegetable garden, where he can grow his cucumbers and tomatoes and things like that. Or maybe he said sometimes the kings and the fancy people would grow, all sorts of fragrant herbs and things, and this would be in the front of the house, in the back of the house, make it, smell nice. Maybe that's what he wanted. So whatever it is, he wanted to plant some sort of garden here. It's right next to my house. I want to have this nice garden right next to my house. Now he's not stealing it from him, and he says to him, "I'm gonna pay you for this. Kerem told me that. I'll give you a different vineyard in place of this one, and I'll give you a better vineyard." He's not stealing from him. He's not cheating him. He says, "Fair and square, I'm going to compensate you more than your vineyard is worth." And he says, and if not, if you don't want another vineyard, im tov be'enecha kesef mechir zeh, then I'll pay for it." Right? So he's going about this fair and square. He wants the property. He's going about it fair and square. He's going to pay him for it. He's going to give him a replacement, whatever the case is. Comes Navos. And you might think, okay, he's the king. They say yes, he's going to give you a better one, right? He's going to give you money for it. Why not? Vayomer Navos Elachav, Chalila, that I should give this to you. Okay, not exactly the response that Achav was looking for. Now, what? Why? What's he making such a big deal? Chalila. Now, what's the big deal here? So the Matsudas David says what I think is the Pashup shot. And he says, this is my inheritance from my parents. It's my ancestral land. This is not just some stam pea parcel of land that I purchased in Israel. This was mine. It was my father's, my grandfather's. This was passed down to me, this Kerem. So he says, the Torah says that Beha'aretz and Parshas Bahar. You're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael, your own ancestral land, for good. If you need money, you need to sell it for some constructive reason, you can sell it. But then we know the halachos are that the land goes back. And Yovel goes back to the previous owner. And this land wasn't going back. Once it went to Achav, it wasn't coming back to him. So he said, "I can't sell this land to you. This is my ancestral land. Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's in the Torah. Hashem doesn't want me to sell it to you indefinitely." Now that's how the Mitzvot HaSavad understands the Pashup Pshat. The Malbim quotes Chazal, who say that he's throwing in a religious thing here. Chalila Limei Hashem, right? So what's the religious thing? So the Mitzvot HaSavad said it's a pasuk in the Torah. Lo simachar litzmisus. He says no. He was afraid that he was going to use this for Avodah Zarah. Because what do people put in their gardens? A little getchka, a little idol. They put a little thing like the Christians put a little nativity scene, in their gardens. So he was afraid. Acha was Mr. Baal, right? He loved Avodah Zarah. So he's afraid, "I'm going to sell my vineyard to him." This was a frum guy, Navos. "I'm going to sell my vineyard to him, and he's going to put his geshke, he's going to put his baal, he's going to put an idol in this vineyard." Chas v'shalom, chalila. Can't do such a thing. So that's how the Malbim, quoting Chazal, understands it. Now the Malbim adds one piece here, which is very important. And the Malbim says he was also sticking it to him. Why? What was he saying? He was giving him a mashal. And he was saying, "Chalila li me'ashem mititias nachlas avosai loch." He says, "This is my nachlas avosai. This is my ancestral vineyard. I can't give that up. It's my heritage. It's my ancestral vineyard." And he says, "And look at you. You've given up all of your heritage, not just a vineyard. Not just a kerem. You've given up your whole heritage, everything that you learned from your grandparents and your parents about the Ribbono Shel Olam. You've thrown that all away, and you've turned your back on it and just worshipped Baal and worshipped Asherah and all the Avodah Zarah that you've been worshipping." So I can give up this little piece of land, which is my ancestral heritage. Look what you've done. You've done much worse. So this was, as they say, a frasque and punnet. Like, this is a big slap in the face to Achav. He was telling him, like, I can't even give up my ancestral land, and you've given up your whole heritage. Look, not without looking back. Okay. Oh, like that. I don't know. I have to look at it again. I don't remember all the details there offhand. I have to look at it again. You are allowed to sell land if you need to, right? It's just that the sale is not going to be an indefinite sale, right? It'll be a sale that's until Yovel, and then the land goes back. So here, I think the pshat is that here he figured, once I sell it to Achav, I'm not getting it back at Yovel. I mean, this land is not coming back to me. Once I sell it to Achav, he's the king, he's Russia, he's not giving me his land back. So maybe he felt this would be a finite, a definite sale, and I can't do that. But I don't, but you're allowed to sell for a reason. It's just that it's a temporary sale.
Like the king possessed people up things out of that money.
Okay, so we'll talk about that in a second. He didn't really have much of a claim here. Again, if the king needs something because he needs it for his army, he needs, like we talked about, the Mishpat Hamelucha, we talked about a couple of times, in the last a couple of Svarim, since Shaul, we have this Mishpat Hamelucha, that the king has certain rights, that he's allowed to take certain things, certain rights to use certain things. So some of the Mefarshim say, yeah, but that's talking about produce. You need to feed yourself, you need to feed your men. You're allowed to go into someone's field and take produce. You're the king. You're allowed to do that. Right? But you can't just take the whole land, indefinitely and now you own it. You can't just do that. If you need to cut through someone's land, you can do that. There are certain, certain things we allow a king to do. We don't just allow him to just take people's land for no reason, just because he wants it, just because he wants to make a garden in someone's vineyard. We don't just let him do that. Okay. Now, Achav, especially if you learn like the Malbim, it adds the Malbim's pshat here adds a lot of depth to the story. We got Pasha Pshat, he just, he wanted the land. He said no, and that's it. So he's upset. But the Malbim really adds a lot of depth because he really smacked him across the face. He really, it was like a dagger to the heart. And as the Malbim says, Rishaim, they know they're doing something wrong. Achav knew he was doing something wrong. Now we've seen even in Achav, there are little times when the things peek through. Where he has a connection to Hashem with the Sefer Torah, he couldn't do that. There were certain things that we saw. Achav's not he's not completely a Rasha Umarusha. He's got some kernel inside of him, a little pintelagib, inside of him, despite all the Avodah Zarah. He knows what he's doing is wrong. So when this guy comes along, this little schnook, he's a nobody, he's a Navos, he has a vineyard. And he gives him this Musar, it hurts. It hurts Achav. Pasuk Dalet, Vayovo Achav el beiso sar v'zo'ef al hadavar asher diber elov navos ha'Yisraeli. He comes home, he's upset. Sar v'zo'ef, he's upset. And says the Malbim, what's he upset about? The pasuk doesn't say he's upset that he refused to give him the Kerem. It says, al hadavar asher diber elov. He's upset because of the Moser shmuz that he got. That's why he's upset. All right, the Kerem knew. I'll figure something out. I'll make a garden somewhere else, right? But the smack in the face, the Musar shmuz, the knife, the dagger in the heart that he gave him this Musar, that really hurt, and that's why he's upset, or more upset. Asher diber elav navos ha'Yisraeli, vayomer lo etein loch es nachalas lecha es nachalas avosai, vayishkav al mitaso vayasev es pano velo ochal lochem. He goes into bed. He crawls into bed. And he turns away, he turns his face to the wall. Mefarshim say he was so upset, he turns his face to the wall. He and v'lo'achal, he didn't come down for meals. He's like depressed. And Mamash like depressed. He goes into bed and turns his back to everyone, and he's depressed. Now, so here we have his wife, and she's a piece of work. Pasuk Hey, Batovo Elov Izevel Ishto. His wife Izevel comes to him and says, "Nu, what's the matter? Right? You didn't come down for dinner tonight. What happened?" But daber a love, and she speaks to him, "Mazeruchachasarve in chalochalochem. What's going on? Why are you all upset? Why are you not coming down for dinner? Pasuk Vav. Vayidaber Eileha ki adaber el Navos haYisraeli. And he told her the whole story. I came to Navos haYisraeli. Vaomar lo tenali es karmacha bekesef oim chafetzato et melacha kerem tachtov. And I told him I wanted to purchase his kerem, and I'll give him a better one, or I'll give him money for it, whatever he wants. Vayomar lo etin lacha es karmi. And he says, and he refused. He refused. He said, "I'm not giving you the kerem." Says the Malbim, he left out the part about the Musar. Why? Because he knew that wouldn't go over well with Izevel, and also he didn't want to let on to Izevel that he was upset about that. Izevel was a real rish, she was a real Rasha Marusha, right? And we're going to see that she's the one who really stirs the pot here. Achav, she had no feelings of for Hashem at all. Achav had a little bit. So he didn't want to let on to her that he was upset by the Musar Shmuz that he just got, because that would show weakness. That would show, like, you know, he still feels connected to the Ribbono Shalom. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to, you know, portray that in front of Izevel. Batomarei lov Izevel ishto, ata tasa melucha al Yisrael. She said, Are you just becoming the king now? Are you just becoming the king now? That's how the Malbim understands this, right? This is not new. This is you're the Melech Yisrael, and you're taking over after previous kings. It's not like a new thing. You just became the king, right? Meaning you're the king. You're an established king. You can do whatever you want. You're letting this guy push you around. You're letting this guy Novos, you want the Kerem, and he says no, and now you're upset? Seriously? You're the king. Do whatever you want. Get rid of him. Do whatever you want. Okay? The Mitzudas David says she was giving him a little more Musar, and she was saying, is this how you're going to be king? Meaning, you want to be king, you can't just mope because things don't go your way, right? You know, you're upset about something, you want something, the guy says no, so you climb into bed, right? That's what a king does? No. You get up, and let's figure out how you're going to get this Kerem, right? Don't just, you know, climb into bed and mope. That's not how a king reacts when he's told no about something, when somebody refuses his request or his demand. You can't do that. Kum echo lechem, let's go. Get up, let's come eat something. V'yitav libecha, you'll get into a better mood. Ani etein lecha es kerem navos ha'yisraeli, I'll get the Kerem for you. I have a plan, and I'll get the Kerem for you. Now, the Izevel understood that she couldn't just take it by force. Why? Because he's still the king. If people see that he's starting to act like a bully, and he's just taking people's stuff, people are going to rebel. They're going to realize he's a crook. They're going to realize he's a thug. And they're going to rebel, and they're not going to be loyal to him. So we can't do that. We have to go in a more roundabout way, but Izevel says, I have a plan. What does she do? Pasuk Ches, Vatichtov Svarim B'Shem Achav. She writes up these letters in the name of Achav. Vatachtom B'Chosamo. She seals, signs the letters with his special seal. Vatishlach Svarim El Azkenim V'El HaChorim. And she sends these letters out to the elders, and the Chorim, the Mefarshim say, are the officers. Asher Be'iro Hayoshvim es Navos. She sends them to the city council, basically, of Yisrael. She sends these letters, okay? Now, apparently Navos also sat on the city council. He was one of these, according to the Mitzvah Stavit at least, he was one of these elders that sat on the city council. The Malbim says, what was going on here? The Malbim says she had a plan. She had a plan, and we're going to see in a minute that they're going to claim that Navos disgraced Achav and his God. That's what they're going to claim. This is the plot that we have. Okay. Now Navos clearly did disgrace the king, right? And he also maybe disgraced his God, right? It could be, especially if you learn, like the Mefarshim will say, that he didn't want to give him the Kerem because he was afraid he was going to put up a Zara there. So he maybe this was also a disgrace of his God. But, you know, but they have to be creative how they're going to go about this. And the Malbim says that's why she sends to the Zakenim and the Chorin. Because there's two different aspects of this, you know, accusation. Okay, and this claim against Navos. Accusation number one that he would disgrace the Avodah Zarah. So the elders, this Kenim, are going to judge that. Now, in terms of disgracing the king, that the officers are going to judge, that the Chorim are going to judge. So she's splitting up this claim into really two claims against Navos. Each group, the Zakenim and the Chorim, are going to judge one part of this claim. And she's sending it to Yisrael because she says Navos lives there. So he should be judged by the people, by the Beis Din, the local court in his town. Pasuk Tes. V'atichtov asfarim lemor. This is what she writes in the letters. Kirutzom. Now, Kirutzom normally means establish a fast day. And that's how Rashi understands it. It's establish a fast day. Why a fast day? Because on fast days, people did tshuva. So on a fast day, everybody would get together and they would say, okay, what can we do better? Right? You know, who's done things wrong and how can we improve? And through that, they would figure out what Navos did wrong. Right? They would uncover what Navos did wrong. If only we on fast days would do that. Right? You know, get together as a community and figure out what we're doing wrong and how we can do it better. We don't quite do that. Another Pshat that Radak says, he says, no, Tzom here doesn't mean a fast day. It just means a gathering. It means, you know, call everybody together. Let's make a meeting. You know, we're going to have a town hall meeting. And what should you do? Behoshiva es Navos berosh ha'am. And you're going to sit Navos at the head. Why? Because he's on trial. Especially, we're going to put him on trial. We're going to put him on trial. Now, the king can come and testify about himself. Okay? He can't come and say that, hey, Navos disgraced me. Why, that's a bizayon for the king, right? That's a busha for the king. It's embarrassing. He's going to come and make a claim that somebody embarrassed him, somebody disgraced him. That's not really appropriate. So we have to come up with a better plan. And therefore, call everybody to this large gathering. And Pasuk Yud, the Hoshivu Shnayim Anoshim B'nei V'lial Negdo. And let's get two guys. B'nei V'lial. B'nei V'lial usually means like no good mix. Right? These are two thugs, you know, two gangsters. Okay, let's find these two guys and put these two guys up across from Navos on trial. Navos is sitting on trial, he's on the stand. And you have these two guys that are going to come. The Iduhu Lemor. And they'll testify against him. Mamash the trial here. They'll testify against him and they'll say, Beirachta Elohim Vamelech. Or Elohim Vamelech. He cursed, Beirachta is being used as a curse. He cursed God and the king. He cursed God and the king. And then they'll kill him. They're going to put him to death. Right? After all, you curse God, you curse the king, that's it. Death sentence. Right? They'll give him skila and they'll put him to death. Now, the Radak says that these people, she says, you know, Izevel had to come up with some sort of way to do this in a semi, you know, what might look like, you know, it's really a charade, but it looks like this is a legitimate trial. This is like in some countries they do this, you know, they put people on trial and accuse them of all sorts of things, right? Every American, I think, now comes to Russia, is arrested for something, and they put them on trial and they lock you away for, 20 years, you know, because of whatever crime they came up with. That's essentially what's going on here, right? They're coming up with some sort of a crime, making a mock trial, you know, and we're gonna kill him. We're gonna put him to death over this thing. Obviously, these people were in cahoots with Izevel, right? The Radak says, right? Obviously, the elders were in cahoots with Izevel, and the Malbim here also says, interestingly, the Malbim says that these two people are not really complete liars. Why? Because the king is writing, he's writing the letters as to what happened. So she has this written letter in the name of Achav as to what happened. Now these people are loyalists of Achav. If the king writes to you or writes a letter as to what happened, for you, that's fact. That's fact. So they're testifying about what they read in the letter, which essentially for them is a fact because that's what the king wrote. So we could trust. So it's not a complete lie. It's not a complete fabrication. Okay? Now, obviously, it's somewhat of a fabrication, but, you know, it's not a complete fabrication. Pasuk Yudav. Vayasu anche iro has kenim v'achorim asher yoshvim v'iro kasher sholcha aleim izavel. This is what they did. They made this trial. The zakenim, the chorim, they made this trial exactly as Izavel instructed. Kasher kosu v'asfarim asher sholcha aleim, exactly as it said in the letters. That's what she wrote to do, and that's exactly what they did. It sounds like the Radak says she may have even sent multiple notices. It sounds like she sent, you know, multiple things. And again, everyone knew that this was a fake. Everyone knew that this was a charade, that this was really a staged trial. But this was an excuse. They were fulfilling the king's wishes. They would much rather side with the king than side with this guy, Navos. Who was he? He was a Chinook, right? He wasn't anybody of significance. So I'd much rather be on the king's side, you know, and make the king happy. So okay, we'll do a little charade. We'll do a little fake trial. No problem. Pasuk Yudbeis, they did it. Karutzom v'hoshivu es Navos b'rosh ha'am. So they either fasted or they gathered everybody together and they put Navos in front of the nation on trial. Yudgimel v'yavo u'shnei ha'anashim b'nei v'liyav v'yeshu nedo. And you have these two thugs. They come and they sit across from him. V'yiduhu, and they testify. And Shea Blial es Navos neged ha'am lemor. Be'rach Navos Elohim v'melech. V'yotziu mi'chutzayir v'yizchilu b'avanim v'yamos. And exactly as she instructed, that's what happened, right? Exactly. They came and testified. He disgraced the king. He disgraced, you know, the god. Presumably, this was Avodah Zarah, and that's it. He has he's sentenced to death. Took him out, and they stoned him to death. Pasuk Yudal Vayishlichu Elizevel Emor Sukal Novos Vayamos, and they send the message back to Izevel. Done, right? Exactly as you said we should do. We did it. Pasuk Tezvav, Vayhi Kishmoa Izevel Kisukal Navos Vayamos. As soon as she hears that her bidding was done, Vatomer Izevel Elachov Kum Reishes Akerem. She says, "Here you go. Here you have your Kerem. Go get the Kerem." As Kerem Navos HaYisraeli Hashem Me Ein Lost Es Lachav Kesef. He refused to give it to you for money. Ki Ein Navos Chai Ki Meis. He's dead. Now he's dead. It's all yours. Go for it. Go get it. Oh, good. So doesn't it go to the children? And also the Mefarshim point out, it's a strange language. It says, Kum Reish. Reish, like Yerusha, sounds like she's saying, go inherit. So in what way is this an inheritance? So all the Mefarshim jump in here, quoting the Gemara, quoting Chazal, that say that that there are some opinions that say that anyone killed by the king, the possessions go to the king. So if the king puts you to death, you committed a crime. Here, they made up some crime that he committed, and the king put him to death. Possessions go to the king. So it is a type of inheritance. That's why it says kumresh. It's a type of inheritance. Others say, interesting, the Rashi quotes another opinion that says that they were actually cousins. They were mishpacha. And in fact, Achav was actually the next in line to inherit. You know, they were, I think he says they were mamash like first cousins. You know, so again, you know, we didn't know that until now, but that's what he suggests. Now the Radak says that this is why Izevel had to add in that he cursed the king. Because had the accusation just been he cursed God, so then that's not the king's trial. That's a Stama trial that he cursed God. That's a Beis Din will try him. But now he cursed the king. Now that's the king's trial. The king puts him on trial for that. Okay, now the king puts you on trial. Now the king gets your stuff. Right? That's why he had to add that. And that's why it says at the end, he ain't novos chai ki meis. Why is that's also redundant? He's not alive, he's dead. Of course he's not alive, he's dead. So he's saying, no, it means he was killed. He's not alive, he's dead, it means he was killed. He didn't just die, he was killed by Beis Din. Okay, whatever kind of Beis Din this was. Pasuk test Zion. So as soon as he heard this from Izevel, Givaldik, that's exactly what I wanted. He's gone, Kerem is mine, and he goes to get the Kerem. One little problem. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayihi Devar Hashem El Eliyahu HaTishbi Lemor. Remember Eliyahu? He's been a little quiet the last couple of prakim. Eliyahu comes back on the scene. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Eliyahu. And he tells him, Pasuk Yud Ches, Kum Reid Likras Achav Melech Yisrael Asher B'Shomron. Go down and greet, right, and speak to Achav, the king of Israel, who's in Shomron. Hinei Bekerem Navos Asher Yarad Shom L'Rishto. He just went to the Kerem to go take it, to take possession of it. Go meet him there in that Kerem. The Radak says, Achav thinks he won, right? He thinks he won. He's about to find out that he lost. In the scheme of things, in the big scheme, in the grand scheme of things, he lost. Pasuk Yates, V'dibarta Elav Lemor, says Hashem to Eliyahu, you should say the following. Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem. Harotzachta, you murdered this guy. V'gam Yorashta, and then you took his stuff, you took his possession, you took his carrot. V'dibarta Elav Lemor, and tell Navos the following message. Ki Amar Hashem, the same spot where the dogs licked the blood of Navos, he was stoned to death. Presumably there was a lot of blood around. Also, Yaloku Aklovim es Damcha Gamata. The same dogs are going to lick your blood too. Right? So you see, he's really being, because Baruch Hu tells him, you're not getting away with this. Right? This was cold-blooded murder for no reason other than you wanted his vineyard and your evil wife came up with this plan to do this. That's it. This is the end of the line, and you killed him. You're going to die in a similar way. And even though he didn't murder him, the pasuk says Ratzachta, right? But he Zevel did it with his approval. He was okay with this. This was a plan that he was fine with. So it's like his it's like he's responsible. It just goes to show you, right? If we sign off on something, that means that we're responsible for it, right? That's clear in the pasuk. Pasuk Chaf. By Yomer Achav El Eliyahu, so Achav is quite upset by what Eliyahu is telling me. I'm telling him, and he says, "Hamitzosani oivi." By Yomer Matzosi, Yan hismaker chala asos hara b'nei Hashem. He says to him, he says, "You found me, right? You know, you found that I did something wrong." And Eliyahu responds, "Yeah, I did. I found you. I found that you did this terrible thing. Hismaker cha, you sold yourself." Like you sold your soul. You know, people say you sold your soul to the devil, right? You sold your soul, you know, to these terrible things, to do all of this evil, to do all of these terrible things. The Radak says that in this pasuk it alludes to another chait that Achav did. What did he do? He was so enraptured by Baal. What did he do? He took a sefer Torah, and every time it said Hashem's name, Achav erased the Shem Hashem and wrote Baal, Bracious Bara Baal. That's what he wrote. That was his Sefer Torah. So this pasuk also alludes that Eliyahu says, we know about that too, right? And that also you're going to be punished for. Now, the Mitzvah Stavit says he's trying to also wiggle out of this and say, listen, you know, you didn't find me guilty of anything. My wife did it. This was his evil, not me, right? Hamid Sassani, did you find that I'm guilty of anything? This was her whole plan, right? Not mine. Comes Eliyahu and responds, no, you're responsible for it. It was with your approval. You're responsible. You did all sorts of other bad things. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Hinani, mevi elecha ra'a. Evil will befall you. Uvi arti acharecha. And not just that, but I'm going to pursue you to make sure that everything, that you're killed and everything will be blotted out. Vihichrati la'achav mashkin bekir. And you won't even have... You know, again, Mashkin Bekir, we've had this phrase before. Either it's referring to a male, right? Because that's the way that a male will urinate. That's why it refers to him that way. Or some say it even means you won't even have a dog, right? Mashkin Bekir is like a dog who urinates against a wall. You won't even have a dog to your name. Like that's how your entire world will be blotted out. The Otzer of the Ozu be Yisrael, you won't have anything. Some say Otzer of the Ozu, Pashup Shat. Pashup Shat Otzer also means you won't have anything left. And Mitzvah Stav, it says it means you won't have wealth, you won't have livestock. Rashi, the Radak quotes a Medrash that says you lost your, you're losing Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Otzer v'Ozev, you won't have anything. You're done. Pasuk Chavez, V'nasati es Beischa Kevesi Rava Ben Nevat. Your house is going to end up like his house. U'chavez Basha Ben Achia. All these people that were wiped out. El Hakas Asher Hichasta, because of the anger that you angered Hashem, v'tachati es Yisrael, and you caused Bnei Yisrael to sin. Pasuk Chof Gimel, V'gam li'izevel diber Hashem le'mor. Izevel also spoke, Hashem also spoke to Izevel, sent a message to Izevel, saying, Haklovim yochlu es Izevel v'chel Yisrael. Don't worry, they're going to eat you too. Right? You're going to also be killed, and the dogs will lick you up also as well. Pasuk Chof Dalet, Hames la'achav ba'ir yochlu ha'klavim. Whoever dies from achav in the city, the dogs will eat them in the city. Hames ba'sode yochlu lof ha'shamayim. Whoever dies in the field, the birds will pick at them. Very gruesome description of everyone from Achav's family dying. Pasuk Chav Hey, Rak lo haya ke'achav asher hismakir la'aso sarah b'nei Hashem asher hesata oso izevel ishto. Fascinating pasuk. Sounds like there was no one as bad as Achav. He was the worst, right? He was the worst. Asher hismakir la'aso sarah b'nei Hashem. Again, he sold himself out to do all of this evil in the eyes of Hashem. And who caused all of this? Izevel. Izevel is the one who really caused all of this. Now Rashi says, why was Achav so much worse than Yeravam? Yeravam was also pretty rotten, right? Why was Achav so much worse? So he says that Yeravam and the others who followed him, they worshipped Avodah Zarah, but not because they really believed it. They worshipped Avodah Zarah because they were afraid that if Klal Yisrael continues to go to Yerushalayim, Aliyah LeRegel, then we're going to lose our Melucha. Because if they're going to Yerushalayim, who are they going to follow? Melech Yehuda. They're not going to follow Melech Yisrael. So they couldn't have the Jewish people going to Yerushalayim. Politically, they couldn't do that. So once they couldn't have people going to Yerushalayim, so you got to come up with something else. We got to make a new temple, right? Where are people going to go? They got to go somewhere else. We make a new temple. We make the Agolim, right? We bow, whatever it is. But so this was only, it was more politically motivated when it came to the other kings and less religiously motivated. He says, when it came to Achav, Achav added in Baal, he added in Asherah. This was more religiously motivated and less politically motivated. Fine. And the Mitzvah Sovet also says that Izevel was a real part of the problem, right? That he wouldn't have been so bad if not for Izevel. Izevel really, again, you know, he had things wrong, but Izevel really stirred the pot. She really got him, you know, to be the worst that he could, you know, she brought out the worst thing. Like that was Izevel. That was what she was all about. Pasuk Chavav, Vayasev Me'od Lalechas Acharei Gilulim. He became disgusting to follow all of these idols, all of this Avodah Zarah. Kichol Asher Asu HaEmori Asher Horish Hashem Mipnei B'nei Yisrael. Just like the Emori did, which Hashem allowed B'nei Yisrael to get rid of the Emori. But he's bringing it back. He's bringing all of that which the Amori did back. Pasuk of Zion. What's Achav's response? He saves himself a little bit at the end. Vayikra begodav. He does tshuva. He tears his clothing. Vayosim sakal b'soro. And he wears sackcloth. Vayotzom and he fasts. Vayishka basak. Vayahalech at. And he sleeps in his sackcloth. He walks. Some say he walks barefoot. Some say he walks slowly, like someone who's very worried and anxious about things. He really, really began to do tshuva. Now, again, it's a little bit too little too late, but he's doing tshuva. He's doing tshuva. He feels really, again, remember, he felt a little bad. You know, we saw that when Novos gave him the Musar, it stung. You know, it hurt him. And now, after Elio tells him this, he's just down in the dumps and he realizes how low he actually sunk. Now, because of this tshuva at the end, the final message that Hashem has for Eliyahu regarding Achav, look, he's doing tshuva, right? He's being machnia himself. Because of his tshuva now, he'll still be killed. But the destruction of his house will not happen in his days. Because that's very painful to see your whole household being wiped out. That's very painful. In the zchus of the tshuva that he did, he will not witness that. He'll die first, and then be made beno ovi haroa al beis. Then, in the next generation, I'll wipe out the rest of the family. So he's going to die as a result of his chataim, but because of the tshuva that he did at the end, you see the power of tshuva, right? A whole life of rishus, baal, asherah, you know, wiping out Hashem's name from a Sefer Torah. I mean, wild stuff. Murder, all these wild averos. At the end, he did tshuva. Hashem says, you know what? You get schar for that. You get rewarded for that. You get something for that. I'll kill you. You need to die because of what you've done. But the wiping out of your household, that I'm going to wait. That you don't have to witness. That I'll do the next generation. Oh, unbelievable power of tshuva. Okay, so we see the hard downfall of Ahav here. Eliyahu, of course, the Navi, bringing the news. But, you know, we see at the end a little glimmer of what tshuva can do. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. And Amir Tzah Hashem, next week, we will begin the final perek of Malachim Aleph, perek Chavez, discussing Yehoshaphat, the Melech Yehuda. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Aaron.
Good to see you.